Well, hello everybody and welcome to January's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us here back at the award-winning Heaton Hops.
Indeed so.
The last time we were here, it was just a nominee, but now an award-winning pub.
They did. It was best pub run by a Bradford Park Avenue fan in Stockport.
They all count.
Also known as Camera Pub of the Year.
Exactly. Well, it was that, the best pub in Stockport and South Manchester.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. So,
yeah, it's pretty decent.
It is really pretty decent. Yeah. Congratulations to Damien and all the staff and everyone at the Heaton Hops for being an award-winning venue. Yeah. We can only aspire to such heights here on the NPL show. Never nominated.
Well, we've got to have the pub first, Ben.
Well, yeah, but, well, no. I was going to say the award-winning aspect. We've never actually been nominated for an award, unlike Luke Edwards, of course, and his podcast career. We've never really bothered.
Playing the long game.
Playing the long game, that's right, Simo. Well, round the table here at the Heaton Hops.
And as well, Simo has been nominated for an award as well.
I feel like it's a punchline.
I've also been nominated for an award. I'm 26-0. Don't ask me how that happened.
No, to be fair, I've won a Supporters Direct Award. I went to Wembley for it. And FC United's radio show was nominated at the FSF Awards.
Hey.
Yes, down in London. And I shook Robbie Savage's
hand. Well, there you are then.
Hey.
There we go. Robbie Savage was very complimentary towards us that night.
He's still not come on the show, though, was he?
No, this was many years ago. He probably doesn't even remember. But anyway, James Richardson was the host.
Hey.
Yes.
That's lovely prestige evening for you.
Didn't win. But anyway,
this is a very weak edition of Show and Tell.
It's just like a what could have been show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's almost a therapy session.
Yeah, well, James Hayes is here for this therapy session. Hello, James.
Evening,
welcome
Ben,
back.
How are you doing?
Simo is here, Andrew Simpson.
I am here. Is it too late to wish Happy New Year? Because I think I wasn't. I apologise for
weren't
being here.
You and missed it. No. Happy New Year, Simo.
Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year to Berkey, or is it? Well, no. Berkey's injured, everyone. Yeah. But like all managers in the NPL, we have to make do. Get him out somehow. And we've got him on Zoom, all patched up at home. Berkey, welcome.
Hello, Ben. Yeah, ready for 10 or 15 minutes, something like that. But I've snapped my calf. Oh. And it's very sore.
Well, thank you for being a trooper. And
I'm brave. I'm very... At the same time, though...
Did you say you need some Savlon?
No, I didn't. I was going to say you need some sad music.
Oh, sad music, yes. Yeah. Well...
I am being really, really brave.
You are being
stoic.
Yes.
In the face of this,
I'll let you into
challenge,
I'll let you into a little secret, dear listener. He's basically come on to brag because Hyde United are having such a good season. He didn't want to miss this moment to have his James Hayes moment on the show this month. Let's make a start. Oh, James.
Hello.
Every month now we come to you, don't we?
Let's get that.
Every month. Radcliffe, 9 points clear, 3 games in hand.
It's getting to point of game territory for everyone else as well. But I mean, the main objective for the season's been done. Radcliffe can't get relegated anymore.
Oh. Yeah, that is good news that you can't get relegated. But joking aside,
just looking at the fixtures left, it's fair to say now at this moment we are getting the running officially. So not a lot of room to teams to drop at the moment. But Radcliffe in the situation they are again, 3 games in hand against Marine, 2 against Warrington Rylands. 10-9 points, and then the rest of the field need more than a point a game to get to the top spot. I think I said at the same time, is it now officially time to say it's Radcliffe to lose?
I think we're at that stage, aren't we?
Undoubtedly. I think what's quite dispiriting for the chasing pack is Radcliffe are not giving them any encouragement at all, are they? And whenever it looks like they maybe have had like a dig in the ribs, they just respond. You know, that little you talked about last show, but that spell before Christmas, didn't it, where they actually lost 4 out of 7 league games, and everyone kind of inched forward in the seats. Well, that's not happening anymore. In fact, they've now won the past 6 in the league. So very, and no kind of adverse effects to going out with the trophy because obviously they played really well in the game against Barnet. So kind of what would worry me if I was chasing is there's just no sign, or even when they take a stumble, they just get back up again and pedal twice as fast. So yeah, I think it is theirs to lose. But they've got themselves in a brilliant position and they deserve all the, you know, all the credit that's coming their way.
Now, Birkett, I think the last league defeat was against Hyde just before Christmas for Radcliffe. Radcliffe have got 2 games coming up in the closing part of the season with Geisler. They've also got to play Marine. They've got to play Worksop away. They've got a tricky away at Whitby. They've also got to play a home game against Ashton United. There are some tough games with teams around the playoffs, chasing the playoffs. But do you agree that it's looking increasingly likely now that it's heading towards Stainton Park, and that 98 bus with no roof on will have to be ordered.
Yeah, well, it's nailed on, Ben. I mean, it's not just Radcliffe who've got to play them. They've all got to play Radcliffe. And Marine have got to play everyone else around them as well, as of Warrington Rylands, as of Hyde, as of Works. You know, it's the same for everybody. I've just been doing a little bit of maths, and if this is, well, arithmetic anyway, if this is right, Radcliffe need 89 points to win the league. So another 10 wins, and that's assuming Rylands win all their remaining games, by the way. And the home and host, they won't need that much. Yeah, no. But let's say 80 points will do it for them, and I think it'll do it for them comfortably. Yeah.
Ashton Geisley coming up next week. You've got Whitby Geisley, Ashton Macclesfield, Whitby Hyde. Over Easter Hyde have got two games against the top sides as well, yeah. So it's getting to the point, I think, looking lesser than that. I think a lot of people are saying that it could be as early as when they play Ashton at home. Wow. That's the earliest, but again, as I say every year, and this is what's keeping my head at the moment, remember Charlie's season, I know they went and won it, but it went to the wire.
True.
You can't praise them too much, really. No. We gave it the big build-up for that season.
The only reason why I'm not going overboard now in January is because we've done it every other month.
I know. And they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. You know, we thought, and this is not a complaint, by the way, this is credit in Radcliffe, we thought we were going to have a close title race, perhaps with Mac and Marina, we'll come on to in a minute, are now up to second. We thought they'd be slugging it out, certainly for longer than they have been, but it's because of Radcliffe's dominance and their class that's not happened.
Well, big week for Radcliffe. Geisley this week, FC away, of course, and Worksop away next Saturday. So, big week for Radcliffe. What about Marine, Simo? We can have a chat now about Marine. I obviously saw them last night.
What did you think?
I thought they were very impressive. Very impressive. They looked like they'd put FC to the sword early in the season. Mm. And we said on FC Radio that, well, Marine are clearly candidates for promotion this year. Then, obviously, we've had this playoff battle with all these teams in the top half of the table, and it feels like they've got into gear all of a sudden. They're starting to motor a little bit now after their FA Cup trials and tribulations.
Well, it's almost like you queued me up beautifully there, because I remember I covered the FA Cup game against Harrogate when they went out, and I spoke to a couple of people at the club after that, and they said that Neil Young was going to take the opportunity to kind of refresh the squad, to kind of fast forward to where we are now. We are seeing a Marine 2.0. There has been some turnover. Obviously, the headlines are going to Bobby Grant at the moment, who's come in, kind of taking the place of Darius Osai. It didn't quite work out for him at Marine. He's since moved back to Stalybridge. But Grant's come in. Obviously, there's been Sol Solomon up there, Fintan Claire-Smith that we know about. But it's not just other parts of the team as well that he's made subtle changes. Some of them are forced, actually, to be fair, because he lost Felix Goddard, the goalkeeper, so they need to bring another goalkeeper in. But the manager deserves enormous credit for recognising that he didn't quite have enough quality, didn't quite have enough depth. He needed to do something about it. He's gone out, recruited really intelligently.
He said that in his interview a few weeks back. Yeah.
And those guys are contributing. Obviously, Matty Waters scored that, won the goal against Worksop at the weekend. We've got to see him. Harvey Gregson's come in, had a really good impact in midfield. And it's still up. Scott Buck made his debut last night. I've watched him a few times this season for Nantwich, and he's on loan from Wrexham. A really impressive young defender. So whenever opportunities come up, Neil Young is taking them. They've timed this surge beautifully. 5 wins in a row. I don't know whether they're thinking secretly that they can catch Radcliffe. Probably not, even though they've got that game against them in a couple of weeks. But considering that they've been out of the top five for a little while over the turn of the year, they'll be made up now to be where they are.
I mean, with Marine at the same time, I think they're taking the advantage now they've got before the running, because you look at the remaining fixtures, if you take Matlock out of the equation, maybe Morpeth, there seems to be something to play for the remainder of the season.
I was going to say, Birkin, Marine's running. They're 7 points inside the playoffs now, we have to say. 9 points behind Radcliffe. They obviously take on Radcliffe in the middle of February. They've got that quarter-final tie in the Liverpool Cup as well against Everton, which will be a big game. But in this running for Marine, they've got Macclesfield away, they've got Geisler, they've got Lancaster away, they've got Rylands, they've got Workington away, and they finish with Ashton United away. By the way, apologies to the teams that I miss out of this list, but I'm dealing with the teams in the top half of the table and the ones who have got home form, like Workington. But it's a tough running for Marine, but in a weird way, it's in their own hands a little bit, isn't it? If I can use that cliche very early on in the show.
Well, it is, Ben, but the teams behind them all have games in hand, some of them up to 4 games with Whitby. If Whitby win those 4 games in hand, they'll level on points with Marine. They're not home and hosed yet, But Simo and Teague got the dead right. They've strengthened. Tom Pratt's come in as well from Guiseley, where he didn't really settle too well. But, you know, he's still keen and still a very, very good player and a great addition to the squad. This is the thing with Neil Young. Over the years, he's always been very astute when it comes to the loan market. And he's using it fantastically well, from what I can see anyway, this season. Going the other way, leaving Marine, Manassi Manpala, he's gone back to Hyde on loan as well. And the magic he's capable of, that goal he scored against FC United earlier in the season from about 35 yards on his wrong side. You know, it's, he's a very, very good player on his day, but he'd kind of fallen out the side a little bit, and Neil Young's done what he's had to do and shipped him out, and hopefully Manny's going to have a little bit of a spurt back at the Tigers. But yeah, Marine, so far, they're looking strong, looking very strong.
And a point behind Marine, we've got Warrington Rylands, who obviously do have that game in hand as well. And Simo, what do you make of Warrington Rylands? Because they're just carrying on, chipping away, getting results. When they're not playing well, getting a point as best they can, like with the matches against Bakersfield United and Workington. Is that going to be enough, though? Do they need wins in this running with the teams behind them, or do they just keep doing what they're doing? Because it's worked so far.
Yeah, it depends if you're a glass half full, glass half empty guy. And I'll explain what I mean by that. If you actually look at the raw numbers, they've actually only won one of the past seven league games, which you might think, well, that is a reason for concern. But there's actually been five draws in that run, and I've written draws exclamation mark on my pad in front of me here. And that's not a new thought. It's been something that's been kind of all season. They've kind of, and the last 10 days, so it's been a perfect microcosm, hasn't it? They came from behind, didn't they, to get the point at Workington, great point on the road. But then the reverse happened at the weekend, and Bakersfield fought back and got a point against them. It's kind of been a little bit topsy-turvy like that. I will make a defence for them, though, in that they've had a really, really tough run of games. They've played Bakersfield, Workington, Ashton, Marine and Radcliffe on the road. Really, really tough run of games. So hopefully things will get a little bit easier for them now. They may just be looking over their shoulder slightly. But I think the second point I would make about Ryan's is you need to kind of zoom out completely and see kind of where they've come from.
Yeah.
None of us really were necessarily tipping them to be in the top five this season, and they've been there pretty much from the start. So year on year, it's a fantastic season. Yes, they've had a really tough 6 to 8 weeks, but they're still in a fantastic position to make the playoffs, which would still exceed expectations. So they're in a great position.
You look at the next couple of fixtures, between now and just before Easter, when they've got the way at Hyde.
They're all against the teams in the lower half,
aren't
they?
That's what I mean. But the second point is with Ademi Sidibe. Obviously, there's a lot of interest from the Football League and Scottish League clubs.
And anyone who's seen a Rylands game this season knows why.
So it's more a case of if they can get hold of him, and if they can't, can they keep him to the end of the season? Obviously, we'll know a bit more Friday afternoon when the transfer window's shut, but if you can keep hold of him, obviously you've got capability. If not, they've got a month to replace him with someone.
Just to reaffirm what James has said, Rylands have got Bradford Park Avenue, Matlock, FC United, Gainsborough, Bradford Park Avenue again, Bamber Bridge, and then on the 23rd of March, they play Hyde United away, and that's the first team they play in this run of games in the top half of the table. Yeah. Which
So they'll want to get back to winning ways, and I think they will.
Yeah, and well, speaking of Hyde United, and I've delayed it long enough, I've tried to keep Berkey on the line for as long as I can, dear listener. We all know you love Berkey at home, but Berkey is at home, and he's in a lot of pain, but it's now time to relieve that pain by talking about Hyde United and just how good it is at the moment following the mighty Tigers. Berkey, how good is it at the moment following...
I'm finished.
Following the mighty Tigers. And I don't mean Worksop in brackets.
Well, just you mentioning it, Ben, it's been like I've eaten one or two ibuprofen and the pain has subsided, albeit temporarily. So thank you very much for that. Tigers have been brilliant this last month or so. In fact, going back before that, we're 11 games unbeaten in the league. Some fantastic wins in there as well. Some couple of draws that could have been defeats, mind you. But overall, done very well. In the last four games, we've scored 18 goals and conceded two. Jordan Easton looked a real find as goalkeeper, putting fantastic performances. But it's not all just down to the keeper. It's not just down to the defence. We've started scoring goals, which had really been Hyde's problem throughout the season. We've not really had a centre-forward. Will Russ, we had him on loan from Fleetwood again, but he was recalled and then went out was sold actually to Southport. So yeah, lost his services, but there's always irons in the fire with Nick Spoon. He's always got a trick or two up his sleeve. Well, don't always work.
I was going to say Burke, because I mentioned the interview with Neil Young. I remember speaking to Nick Spooner early in the season, and I don't think anyone at Hyde United would have thought that at this stage of the season you'll have scored the same amount of goals as Worksop Town.
Well, we weren't scoring so many, were we?
No.
A couple of months ago, but we really seemed to have turned a corner, you know, and it's great to see, and we're doing it without a centre forward. Matty Fernley scored a hat trick against Bradford Park Avenue the other week, playing as a centre forward, but he isn't a centre forward. He was kind of playing as, you know, he had number nine on his back, but he was flitting here, there, and everywhere. And it's great to see Lewis Alessandra really on great form at the moment as well. Jack Redshaw and Harry Bunn, you know, the old times who we mentioned last time out, still continuing their cracking form. The question now is, do we carry on? Do we do a Warrington he did last season?
Or do you do a Hyde United, which you did last season? You've got that four-point cushion, which I think is very impressive, given how close it was heading into the festive period. Just how the likes of Marine, Rylands and Hyde United have got that little bit of a cushion. It's not going to be enough to say, oh, it's sorted now.
Well, oh, no, it's not at this stage.
It's a good position to be in.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you'd rather be fourth than in seventh, wouldn't you? I think they've strengthened well. They've strengthened smartly this season. And as the season's progressed as well. And I'd say things are feeling a little bit more positive now than they were this time last year. And we didn't put a run together like this last season. It was always win a couple, draw one, win a couple, lose a couple. Sort of bit higgledy-piggledy, really, until the back end of the season when we went on a bit of a terrible run. This season's been different. A lot more consistency, a lot tougher to beat. And, yeah, now we're starting to score goals. It's going to be an interesting last couple of months of the season. I wouldn't want to play Hyde at the moment.
No, and that takes us to your current fixtures. Workington this weekend, Basford United away, Stafford, Whitby away, which could be a huge game at the back end of February, Afferty Coles, Workington, Ilkeston. So there's, on paper, looking at the league table, there's winnable games there for Hyde. But as we all know, Burke, there's no easy games this league.
There. And they're not one on paper.
Exactly.
Play by mail.
Yeah. That's Hyde United. What about the other mighty Tigers, Worksop Town? Now, I mentioned that cushion that Hyde United, Rylands and Marine have got. That essentially, at the moment, as we head towards February, it means that there's only one playoff spot at the moment, which is up in the air, you know, heading into this weekend, that's available. That's where Worksop Town are at the moment. Same number of points as Macclesfield, Guiseley are 2 points back, Ashton United are 3 points back, and as Berkey mentioned earlier, there is the Whitby Town element as well, where they're 5 points outside the playoffs, but have about 15 games in hand. So that is still up in the air, but Worksop, new to this division, it's been a brilliant campaign, and they are in the playoff positions heading into the back end of January. However, they'll want to bounce back after the Marine loss.
Yeah, it's one of those defeats that really, really stings because of the manner of it, the occasion. They've got themselves in a great position. They were 1-0 up, and then to come away with nothing and will really, really sting. And it's how they respond to that. I did enjoy Craig Parry's interview, though, when he was on the show. He's very calm, isn't he?
Very calm.
He's someone who is well cut out for the position that they find themselves in. He's not going to get too high for wins, not going to get too low for defeat. So he'll probably be a good man to have at the helm this week when they try and recover from that. Couple of points I would make about Worksop. Their away form slightly concerning, and they've only won one of the past seven away games, so that's something they probably need to improve on if they're going to remain big contenders for a top five position. In contrast, they're one of the better home teams in the league. In fact, only Radcliffe and Marine, I think, have got a better home record than them, so they are compensating at home, but they will want to pick up some more wins away from the road. Really encouraging impact from Jordan Burrow since he's come in.
Definitely.
Up to four goals, so that's really encouraging for them. And their next two games are huge. They're home to Ashton and Radcliffe.
I was going to say the home games. It's a tough game for Radcliffe, isn't it? And Ashton United, they need a win. Yeah. The 3 point, and that's a big game, isn't it, this weekend?
It is indeed. I mean, obviously, they've had a lot of injuries. Obviously, Liam Hughes is out injured still. A lot of forward lines are just coming back into the play a little bit. a lot of the injured-stricken squad played in the Emily County Cup game where they won 10-0. So that's a big boost from there, and they can play the likes of Macclesfield again. If the games against them sides are going to be crucial for their playoff contention.
Well, we've got Ashton United this weekend, Radcliffe, Matlock, Bamber Bridge, Guiseley, Ashton United, Macclesfield. They finish off, it's an interesting one, with Warrington Rylands at home on the 20th of April and Atherton Coles away on the 27th. But Berkey, can we discuss Macclesfield? Because that was an impressive win for Mac against Guiseley after what happened against Radcliffe. And it just brings Macclesfield back into things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. They just need something to spark them again. You'd still expect them to make the playoffs. You'd still expect them to make the playoffs comfortably. And it's strange to say it with 26 games, effectively two-thirds of the season gone, and never really hitting the straps yet this season, that people still expect that Macclesfield will do it. Who really is expecting Mac not to make the playoffs? I don't think anyone at Macclesfield is. I don't think anyone at any of the other clubs are. What about yous lot?
I would make a couple of points about Mac. And this is what I found really fascinating when we come into kind of the final stretch of the season, of like, who's under more pressure, who's kind of battling expectation, and who's kind of under no pressure because they didn't expect to be where they are. But then suddenly they think, oh, we're in the top five. I mean, Rylands might be one of them. And to a certain extent, Hyde. We've got here. Mm. We've not come this far to only come this far. So lots of things like that come into play during the run-in. The same's at the bottom of the table, by the way. And so Macclesfield are under enormous pressure to make the top five. And that's not going to go away. In fact, the longer they spend outside of the playoff positions, although they're obviously in touch, the more that kind of pressure will ramp up.
And obviously we've got Alex Bruce coming on the show next week to talk about the FA Trophy, because
it's important to mention
it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because it's a great achievement. You're
fantastic
in the fifth round. It's a good draw against Hampton and Richmond.
Not only that, with the trophies, not many National League
sides
left in.
You can see a path
definitely
to Wembley. But that is a double-edged sword, isn't it, when we're talking about the race for promotion?
It is, although Robbie Savage is on record as saying that, you know, they've not done great in FA competition since the club was reformed. So this is something that was kind of on his radar. So he'll be made up that they're doing great in the FA Trophy. And since we were last on, of course, that brilliant win against Dorking. Just very quickly, Alex Bruce, Symmetry fans will enjoy this because Mac have played 26 games, Mark Duffy had 13, and Alex Bruce has now had 13. So far, they are vindicated in making the change. Alex Bruce has won more games, they've scored more goals, and they've picked up more points.
And they are
through to
the fifth round of the trophy.
So
yes.
I think kind of on that graph, it's been vindicated and they're kind of going in the right direction. It's not a big difference, but it is a difference.
It's the games left they've got against the playoff contenders that they've, again, they have to win them, and if they don't, that's going to cost them the playoffs more than anything I reckon.
Yeah, but they can take big heart though from winning big games away to Guiseley and Rylands. They were big wins, so they have done it in those head-to-heads.
Yeah, Bamber Bridge and Ilkeston coming up in February, as well as away trips to Ashton United and Atherton Coles, plus as well that trip down to the South East in the FA Trophy. And like we said, we'll catch up with Alex Bruce on next week's show ahead of that fifth round tie. Berkey, I'll come back to you as well. For Guiseley, 2 points outside the playoffs. I mean, what's your thoughts on where Guiseley find themselves? It's the same question I asked you about Mac beating Guiseley. It's a case now of how Guiseley bounced back from that, because they were doing all right, weren't they, up until the Gainsborough loss?
Well, yeah, exactly. They're still in touch, aren't they, Ben? And that's the main thing at this stage of the season. You can put a run together still. The only problem is you can put two different types of runs together. You can either go ahead and storm into the playoffs, as Matlock did towards the end of last season, or you can just completely fall away the other side, which is what Hyde and Radcliffe did. So it's obvious which one every team wants to do, but have you got the gumption to be able to do it?
I'll tell you what, Birkett, if they come out of this next set of games with maximum points or close to maximum points, they'll have done very well indeed. Radcliffe away, then they've got the West Riding's Cup against Ossett United, which is the Andy Welsh derby, isn't it? Then they've got Ashton United and Whitby. All three of those league games against Radcliffe, Ashton and Whitby are away from home. That's a tough set of games, but
it's defining.
It's defining. Good Simo. Ashton United, 3 points outside the playoffs. Big result, wasn't it, against Atherton Coles? That felt like a really important result on Saturday for Ashton.
It did, well, I mean, they were cruising up.
Yeah, they were.
Point, weren't they? 4-1 up. And then Coles came back very strong in the last few minutes of the game, almost snatched the draw, 4-3 in the end. But this has been a bit of an issue for Ashton recently. 3-3 draw, this flood of goals that they've been conceding. A couple of games on the spin where they've been in commanding positions and, well, almost fritted it away against Coles, but then really did drop a couple of points against Morpeth when they were 3-1 up at half-time, and Jack Fowler came along and scored a last-gasp equaliser. But they do have the talent there. You know, they've got Mitchell Rose, who real dynamo in the middle of the park, from Luke Burke, one of the best full-backs in the league. Sean Newton can play pretty much anywhere, and you know you're always going to get a good, consistent performance from him. Warren Clark as well. He's back. He
great signing.
Had a long time out injured. This is his opportunity to get back in the game. He's better than NPL level. We saw it when he was here last season, season before that. He can play this division with his slippers on. But how much that injury taken out of him? Well, Ashton have started to score a fair few goals since he's come back. But at the other end, they've gone a little bit rocky. So it's something to keep an eye on. And he being a little bit too gung-ho.
I'd argue, Berkey, that if I was to describe Ashton United at the minute, I'd say fun. I think we've called a few teams that over the years, but I think Ashton United are fun at the moment. And this weekend they've got Worksop away, huge game. Yeah. Then Guiseley next Saturday. They've also got Macclesfield in February too. So yeah, big month.
But you look at the run of results, Ben, and it's 2-2, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-2, 1-2, 2-2. There's a 0-0 there, just ruin it a little bit. 3-3, 4-3, 4-2. You know, it's a goal fest when you see him.
He seems to go like 0-0s against Warrington Rylands, though, as well.
Well, that's just Warrington Rylands.
Yeah. It's a draw. Yeah.
Just on that, to back that up, they've got the fewest clean sheets of all the teams in the top 10 this season.
There we go.
So there you go.
Whitby Town, Simo, obviously, they're outside the playoffs at the moment. 5 points. But they do have, well, 2 games in hand over Worksop Town. What do you make of Whitby at the moment? Will they, won't they, is the question.
Well, the main thing I would point out about Whitby is they've only played 9 home games. So during the run-in, they've still got 10 games to play at home.
But I remember on this show, this season, early on, the home form being a problem.
And they've only picked, well, I say only, that's a bit unfair. They've picked up 14 points at home and they've picked up, 24 points on the road. So, yes, their away form has been better this season. However, some of the cliches in their hands, they've got all those games at home. So, yes, they're 9th at the moment, but absolutely do not rule them out, because it's not a bad position to be in. I know they're going to be busy because they are playing catch. There'll be more games to play than the others, but I was quite struck by that they've got that many games still to play on home turf, so they are absolutely still in this playoff race.
Big thing is not scored in 3 games, and that's a bit of a worry. I'm not sure if about injuries themselves at the moment off the top of my head.
Here's the thing though about Whitby, because it was going okay, wasn't it, up to after New Year's Day. Then they played Worksop, Rylands and Workerton all on the road. You're not going to pick that many points up in all that, are you?
Worth noting as well, the lost games were Trinity at home during that period due to the weather on the frost out. That was the 20th of January.
Right. Coming up for Whitby, though, is a home game this weekend. They take on Basford United. Then they've got a North Ridings Cup match against Northallerton Town. FC, Guiseley, Hyde United, home games in Feb. And then they're away to Gainsborough Trinity.
Double header
and then
against Gainsborough.
Home to Gainsborough Trinity in early March. Back to, is that it?
No. Ilkeston are in it.
Are they?
Oh, aye.
Right, okay. So Ilkeston in 10th, also on 39 points, the same as Whitby Town. They have played 3 games more than Whitby, though. But
This surge of 4 wins has kept them interested, kept them alive.
This was the moment, wasn't it?
This was the moment.
If you're going to do your end of season review for Ilkeston Town, this is the period where they went, right, we're back in this.
We're back in this. And I enjoyed Ian Deakin's interview last week. I think he thinks they're back in it as well. Made a really interesting point. They're one of the teams that were badly affected by Mask resigning because they'd beaten them home and away. But he said that he'd used that to galvanise the players, and the results bear that out so far. So it's a bit of skillful management there by him. Yes, they are on the fringes of the race. They are outsiders, and they are about to enter, here's that word again, a defining month.
Yes.
Because they are playing Marine, Lancaster, Macclesfield and Radcliffe during February. So, yes, they're in it at the moment, and will, if they're still in it by the end of February after that run of games, it's game on.
Here's a question for you. Are Lancaster still in it then? You have to say yes, because they're on 39 points.
I'm just going to quickly say for Ilkeston at the same time, they need Jamie Walker as much as they can. Yeah. Golden Boot race has become wide open. He's only five behind David Simmonson at the moment. But yeah, Lancaster, they're a good, strong side.
I mean, to be fair, they did lose, didn't they, to Radcliffe and Hyde. But that's Radcliffe and Hyde. They still beat Macclesfield.
They did. And also, it was a big moment for them on Saturday to come from behind in the way that they did to beat Bradford. We'll come on to Bradford later. So Chris Wilcott gets his first win on the board.
Because that was the question, wasn't it? Is that form that they had under Teague and Grant going to continue?
Absolutely. So that's why I think psychologically that was huge for them. I'm not so sure, like all the other clubs we've mentioned so far in the show, that they're kind of thinking in terms of making the playoffs. I think the pressure's off, and obviously Chris has got to shape the team now moving forward now that he's come in. There's been a little bit of turnover. Of course, Grant and Teague have both moved on, so we'll see kind of how that unfolds in the next few weeks. So I don't think they're thinking of it in those terms, in so much as maybe like the Ilkeston and Whitby Ashton are the outsiders really for the playoff race. But you know, they're in a strong position, they're under no pressure whatsoever because they're definitely not going to get relegated, so it's not a bad position to be in whilst you're kind of figuring stuff out.
And that's the top half of the table, of course. Let's go to the team currently sitting 12th, that's Morpeth Town. 4 points the gap now between Morpeth and Lancaster. For a long time we've been saying the playoff race goes down to 17th. This is January's review show. We're at the stage now where that's not true anymore, is it?
Once you can get Snookers and get back into it, they need about three or four.
Morpeth and Workington are
the real two, but the main thing with Morpeth is they can be brilliant on the day, left hand side, to get results like that, and then like last weekend against Hyde, they go get thrashed 5-1.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's stopping Morpeth from potentially getting into the playoff race a little bit. They're struggling against the top seven, top eight sides.
It's a weird position for these little cluster of teams in the middle, because you can't just say, all right, you know, feet up in February. If you're not going to make the playoffs, and I don't think any of these teams are with the greatest of respect, you definitely want to take some momentum forward or figure stuff out, you know, what's my team going to look like next season. Morpeth feels like they've been doing that for quite some time. They're going to go through this transition, haven't they, under Craig Lynch, where a lot of the experienced players moves on, and they're a much younger team now. So they're still kind of going through that process, but there's still plenty to play for. You know, if you can finish top 10 or even top 8, that really sets you up nicely for going into next season.
You just got to look at the next five fixtures there. So Everton, Bamber, Geisler, FC and Radcliffe. Take Geisler and Radcliffe out of that equation a little bit.
Some and points
then
up.
Again, Everton Colliery's on the 9th of March.
At this stage, those teams, they just need a sniff, don't they? They kind of need to get a couple of wins on the board, and then suddenly
keeps the flame alive, yes, a little bit, doesn't it?
There is a chance, though, isn't there, Berkey, for teams like Morpeth, like Workington, a bit like Matlock as well, who've got games in hand. If they can get a couple of wins and, you know, teams above them start to drop points, then they can get that momentum going again and get themselves back into this playoff race, maybe. I mean, what's your thoughts on Workington, especially their home form, which is very handy to have?
Yeah, the home form's brilliant, Ben. I mean, only lost a couple of times at Borough Park. It's not quite a fortress, but it's not far off being one. The only problem is they crumble when they go away from home. When they go away from home, they've only won two games on the travels this season. That said, you were saying earlier that Ashton United are fun. They're not as fun as Workington. You can't predict what they're going to do, other than there's going to be goals. They've scored 54 and conceded 57. It's absolutely farcical. But they're getting the money's worth up there, aren't they? So who am I to say? This season, remember, it's the first year back at this level.
Yeah.
If they use this season as a stepping stone, there's no reason whatsoever why they can't transfer this and build on it over the next year or two and see where they end up.
We should give some love to Daf Symington individually as well, shouldn't we? Because he's a midfielder at... Essentially, so, I mean, he's like this last season in the West Division. It's so kind of a body of work to score the volume of goals is kind of feeds into what Berkey said. They're amazing fun. They score from all over the pitch as well. And he's hats off to him. And a great season.
Interim Golden Boot scorer as well at the moment. Let's not forget that.
There you go. Yeah.
What does it tell us about this season that you've got the likes of Bamber Bridge, Matlock and Gainsborough all down there at that kind of lower mid-table. Not really threatened by relegation too much, but not going for the playoffs like they did last season. It's odd, isn't it?
It's really odd that they've all kind of gone through that. I mean,
and for different reasons.
Completely different reasons, managerial changes or key players leaving. Matt Locker, probably the biggest surprise of the three, because they finished last season so well, didn't they?
They have got games in hand.
Yeah.
And they did suffer heavily from the mask issue, didn't they?
They did. And obviously we're in kind of a post-John O'Margaret's world now, and kind of what does that look like for them? So I think it's really, really important for them, because they don't want to kind of regress. They had such a good finish to last season. So I think it's very important that Matlock finish the season strongly under Martin Carruthers. Bamba Bridge, I mean, they can't look too far ahead. They're having a really painful moment the last two games. All you can think about is gritting your teeth and getting through that period. Not nice. I mean, I don't think they're going to get dragged into any mire at the bottom, by the way, but be disappointed that they're down in 15th. I think they're a better team than that, and they'll want to show that.
There is a danger, isn't there, that if someone like Stafford Rangers suddenly click, if you're Bamber Bridge suffering heavy defeats, or FC United, let's throw them in at this stage, and you're struggling for form a little bit, there is a temptation to take your foot off the accelerator and just get to the end of the season. And you can get caught out with that mindset.
Definitely.
Especially against the team who are going hell for leather behind you.
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, there's an old cliche, isn't it? You want to play teams with nothing to play for during the run-in. I think there's some truth in that, because of what you just said. You know, is it motivational issues or the players playing for their futures next season? It's how you kind of rally the troops, and it's not an easy thing to do. And each club will have their own different perspective on the best way of doing that. I just thought it was a really interesting point you made about three of the teams that are in the playoffs. It's mad, really. I know you maybe make one, but we didn't touch on games, but just to touch on them. Obviously, they had a massive turnover of players. Obviously, there's also been
a coaching staff.
So it was always going to be really, really tough, really tough for them. They're having a miserable run at the moment, lost six of the past eight games. They do need to be a little bit careful, although, to be fair to Russ Wilcox, they had a really good bounce when he came in, and they might at the end of the season look back and go, well, that was a really key period that he came in and had an instant impact. I don't think they will get dragged down, but you're right, they're kind of in that free fall at the moment. They just want to be a little bit careful, but I think they'll be okay. But you're right, there is a vulnerability if you're not careful. Yeah. There's enough points left anyway.
That's when, and just looking at Bayford's recent form and Stafford's remaining fixtures, that's the two things both sides have got going for them, because Stafford have still got to play Bradford, Everton, Gainsborough. That they could easily close that gap to the Matlocks, your Bambers, FC United, if they're not careful enough.
It does rely on someone like Stafford Rangers, though, to get their act together a little bit, doesn't it, Burke, in the closing months?
Yes.
I wouldn't put it past them, but
they've played 28 games, won five, and you're asking them to win at least five games again in the remaining 12 games. I just don't see it happening for any of the bottom four. Bayford, as we've mentioned on the show before, they're probably the best equipped to pull away from the relegation zone there, and so far it's proving to be so.
Bradford Park Avenue, 9 points behind Bayford United. Afferton Colts, 8 points behind Bayford United, and Stafford Rangers, 6 points behind Bayford United. It's an important month for these teams, isn't it, Simo?
Huge. Bayford are happy, though, with James Jepson's work, because they've rewarded him with a contract till the end of next season. And do you know what? They should be, because they were rock bottom, weren't they, when he came in. So I know more recently they've found it tough, but he has got them in a position where they are best placed to survive of the four at the moment. And I think that's probably where I would have my money as well.
Well, it's only January. Let's just have a quick round the table and down the line, in Berkey's case, in the league, in no particular order other than alphabetical. Afferton Colts against Morpeth Town. Big, big game for both teams. Morpeth away from home. Afferton Colts will be hopeful, therefore. But
I was going to say, for both of them, it's important they win this game for different reasons. Obviously, Morpeth to try and stay in the playoff race as much as they can. Afferton Colts to try and stay in the fight for relegation. If Colts lose, I think Colts have got the more to lose in this one, realistically. But both generally need the win.
I think Colts might win this game, you know.
Well, there we go. FC United against Gainsborough Trinity.
Semi-important one.
Is this winner stays on, Berkey, at this point? This is, or winner gets off?
I see where you're coming from, but Nah. I think you'll both be fine.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, if whoever wins that, it's more than a point a game again. So, it's again, who gets that, it's more the fact they are going to be safe, realistically, more than others.
Hyde United against Workington, a match which will be available live on 26-0 without Burke because he can't walk, basically, at the moment.
Well, yeah, I won't be able to get to the ground.
He's going to miss a home win.
Well, steady on. Hyde won convincingly in the FA Trophy up at Workington earlier in the season. Form says you'd expect the same to happen. Oh, I hate predicting Hyde to win because
don't worry, they're going to win this one.
5-1 win, though.
It's going to be a Hyde win, isn't it? It's
yeah, they're going to win this one.
Ilkeston against Marine. A game of the weekend, maybe.
One off.
Marine riding high, thinking, you know, can we catch Radcliffe? But they're taking on Ilkeston, Simo.
Two of the form teams in the division. It refers back to what we said about Ilkeston. This is a defining month for them, the start of a really tough run of games. But if they can keep winning, they're in with a great chance of threatening the top five. But I think this is a real big test for them. They come through it, they're in a great position.
And again, Ilkeston generally do need the win a bit more as well.
Yeah.
Now, Berkey, Lancaster City taking on Matlock Town this weekend. Matlock with games in hand. Lancaster, Chris Wilcott getting his first win in charge at the Giant Axe. 5 points the gap between these two teams. If I was Martin Carruthers, I'd be saying this is us getting back into the playoff race this weekend. But for Lancaster, this could be them getting into the playoff race, well and truly.
Well, it's a draw, isn't it?
This is why we don't win awards. 1-1.
One-one. Move on.
Fine. Okay. Macclesfield against Bamber Bridge.
I would actually win.
Bamber out of sorts at the moment. Or... really out of sorts. Macclesfield, they should win that. They should.
Radcliffe against Geisler. Game of the week.
Joint game of the week.
Non-committal.
Yeah. Again, Radcliffe are on good form at the moment, but the record against the top five, top six, top seven at the moment is not brilliant. But being at the Newven Stadium, it's going to be a tough place for Geisler to go and try and drum up something there. I can see potentially a draw, but would you go against Radcliffe at the moment? No.
No,
that's especially not at home.
Hang on, Radcliffe haven't drawn all season.
Exactly.
Berkey? That's a good point.
It's a very good point.
In our regular interviews with Jono this season, I've always highlighted the fact they've not drawn a single game, and they still haven't.
Well, we have technically drawn one game in the
FA
Trophy.
Yeah, in the FA Trophy, yes. We were robbed. Anyway, Warrington Rylands. The ball was out of play, clearly. Rylands against Bradford. Kevin, you.
Home win.
I can't see anything other than home win, sadly, on that one.
Whitby Town against Basford United.
I'd say it'd just be a Whitby straight away, but when look at Basford's form quite recently, they are picking up the point here and there. They're due for a win on the form at the moment. Obviously, going back to the Rylands game, the way they came back into it, it was another 10 minutes in that game, they would have won it.
It'll feel like a win, yeah. They'll be on a high.
One away win in six.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously, Whitby have got this kind of mountain of home games, and that starts here. I think it'll be closer. I agree with Teagart. It might be a 2-1 or a 1-0.
And lastly, Berkey, Worksop Town against Ashton United. Game of the weekend? One off, maybe?
It's going to be... well, there's going to be goals. I very much doubt that's going to be a 0-0. I'd put my money on like a 5-all draw or something like that.
I was going to say, Berkey, I make this joke a lot, but if you're an NPL show hipster... and you're after entertaining football in the Northern Premier League this weekend, that's the game you go to, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But if you're an NPL hipster, wouldn't you go after the nil-nils just to say you'd suffered it?
Go pat one, Ed. And I think on them fixtures as well, I think going back to what we were saying about Stafford before, I think they'll be happy with the fact they've got the bye week this week as well, just because of who else.
I don't know about that, James. I think you want to be playing, don't you? You don't want a weekend off to see.
With how the fixtures are, I think the weekend they've got it, it's all the bottom line playing the top lot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, that's it for the NPL show for another month. A big thank you to Berkey for being a brave trooper and coming on the show.
I think he should get a sticker.
I think he should. And
love a sticker. Yeah.
You know what? My son's got a dentist appointment next week. He's 12, but I'm sure I can still blag one.
Yeah.
So you want a Spider-Man sticker? That do you, Berkey?
That'd be brilliant. Okay. Yeah, I'd say that. Cheers.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Where you are to this weekend, Simo?
I'm covering the West Division game of the day, which is Witten against Stalybridge, two playoff contenders. In fact, non-league paper have decided that, not me. So, yeah, it's the game of the day in the West Division.
There we go. And that article will be available, that match report, in the non-league paper, out on Sunday, of course. Well, have a lovely afternoon.
I intend to.
And, James, just before you go, quick plug for social media channels. Weather's been a bit rainy today in Manchester. That might surprise a lot of people, but it's been chucking it down. Fingers crossed for this weekend, but just in case, how could people keep across it all?
Yeah, so on Twitter, it's Northern Premier League, and then on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube, official Northern Premier.
Well, that's it for this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL show. Big thank you to Damien at the award-winning Heaton Hops for once again hosting us at Heaton Hops on Twitter. But we're going to go now. Have a lovely weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. You take care. Bye-bye.